my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Bloody hell, do you think you're doing? You really want to choke her out in a lot of fingers?
Yeah.
Now pull it tight.
Oh, yeah.
Now she's in trouble.
Oh, wait, I know you. You're from that weird family, aren't you?
We're not weird.
We don't like wrestling.
How do you know if you've ever been?
I've never had rectal bleeding before, but I'm pretty sure I'm not a fan of that.
How about I shove her head up your ass and then we can find out? Hello?
My name is Hutch Morgan. I'm calling from WWE. Like both of you to come try out for us.
It's all fake anyways.
Wait, what? Sorry about that.
It's The Rock.
We're huge fans.
Thank you so much.
What advice would you give us if we want to be the next you?
What are your names again?
My name.
It doesn't matter what your names are. You walk around here interrupting The Rock, you like you haven't seen the sun in 20 years. You like you just stepped out of Oliver Twist. Please, sir. May I have some more advice, sir? You want some advice? Here's The Rock's advice. Shut your mouth.
Thanks, Dwayne.
You got it.
Good morning, wrestling nerds.
Well, this is where we see whether or not you get to go on to WWE.
This is our shot, Zach.
Hello.
Why do you want to wrestle?
I'm the toughest bastard in any room. Probably shouldn't swear, not when there's ladies present. Sorry, miss. Sorry about that.
If I call your name, that means you'll be coming with me to Florida. Paige. Thank you all very much.
You have to take my brother. No one deserves this more than Zach.
I wish you the best, son, but this is the end of the line for you.
Do you know what it's like to want one thing in life, and then your own sister takes it away from you?
It was my dream, too.
I have no idea who I'm supposed to be out there.
You're not just doing this for you. You're doing it for the family.
Paige, I myself have come from a wrestling family, too. I know exactly what it means to you. But don't worry about being the next me. Be the first you.
What?
It's Dwayne Johnson. How are you?
Prove it.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, and I'm Vin Diesel, mate.
I'm sorry.
Hey, friends, it is episode 326 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, and the very first, I guess this is the premiere episode, although we talked about Movie Mania last month, this is the first month that we actually have a movie to talk about. Joining me is Chad Smart of the Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network, a longtime friend, supporter, contributor here to the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, and probably the most prolific movie person that I know, so I'm bringing him in to do this as well. And Chad, explain your kind of perspective, because I'm watching these movies that we're going to be doing, which will all be WWE films or wrestling related movies for from now until whenever. But I'm watching it as a fan perspective. I didn't go to film school. I don't look at the filmography or the way things are shot. When you watch movies with Mike DeKalb on Out of Touchstone, how are you guys looking at films?
Yeah. Well, to give you a quick background, yes, I went to film school. Shout out to Southern Illinois University at Carbondale.
Go Salukis.
Go Salukis. I had a tangent that I could go off on right there, but I'm not. I'm going to try to stay focused on this one. So I went to film school. I learned film theory. I learned to dissect films, which really, when I went and saw Showgirls in the theater, I realized film school had ruined me. Because I was looking at acting, plotting, character development, you know, camera work, lighting, and not just the main reason why I think every guy went to see Showgirls in the theater.
Fair.
we'll try to keep this PG-13, so I'll leave it at that. But yeah, so when I watch, now when I watch films, I kind of break films into different categories. And so if I'm watching something that is, you know, I have like guilty pleasure movies, which I don't really focus too much on the aesthetic. I just focus for entertainment purposes. But if I'm watching something that is a, you know, an Oscar contender or something with pedigree in filmmaking, then yes, I do break it down and look more into the fine mechanics of the film, you know, again, the writing, the acting, but I take different things from different movies. I mean, obviously a movie like Schindler's List and a movie like Breakin', while both entertaining films that I enjoy, I'm not going to, you know, critique them on the same level. So for me, it's all about and trying to get back to just being entertained. Am I entertained by a film? And that's why, you know, on Out of Touch, and I'm sure we'll do it here too. When I do a rating system, it's really hard for me to break outside of like a 4, 5, or 6 rating on a 10 scale, because I'm like, as long as I was entertained, if I'm not going to, you know, rate something lower if it isn't as good, if I was still entertained, and it has to be really good for me to go really go, but it has to exceed the expectations I had going into a movie. So,
well, the rating system here, you may not like, because right now what we're toying with, and if you guys listening have suggestions, we're looking at a main event film, a mid card, and an enhancement match. So that's kind of what we've got right now. And we will probably tweak this along the way. This, like I said, is the first episode. So we're going to take input and suggestions and tweak. We're stealing some stuff, or borrowing, I guess, since you are part of Out of Touchstone, yeah. So we can borrow it, right? I'm sure Mike
would. Yeah.
If we do,
there's no copyright.
We're not gonna sit here and, you know, go scene by scene. We're not gonna sit here and read a Wikipedia page. We're gonna give you some honest input, some thoughts, and then with some of these movies, we're going to have this one in particular. By the way, we're talking about Fighting with My Family. If you probably figured that out by the trailer that played earlier, but we are going to be kind of, you know, talking about personal experiences as well, if we have some. And this one, we fortunately have two. You have two. I have one. But so that's kind of the review rating system once we get deeper into the weeds on this one. But I feel like I kind of interrupted your flow there. So if you had anything else to add, please do so.
No, I was just going to say, with you saying like we're going to evolve and kind of, you know, figure this out as we go along, I guess this may be our Husky Harris episode, and hopefully sometime down the road we'll get to The Fiend.
There you go.
Or maybe we'll go get to Bray Wyatt and then stop. And
exactly. So this film, as I mentioned earlier, it is Fighting with My Family, and it is based on the trials and tribulations, I guess, of Paige, the WWE superstar that we know now as Paige. It came out in theaters 2 years ago, actually, and this was coincidental because we did put 4 movies up on a poll on the My 123 Cents Facebook group. If you haven't already, join the group and you can weigh in on these movies that we review and anything else. But it just so happens that this film was released 2 years ago, almost to the day that this podcast drops. It was released on Valentine's Day, 2019. And again, Chad, we kind of, before we started recording, we were going back and forth on this. You said at the very beginning, it says, this is a true story, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you and Mike have dug deeper into the whole true story versus inspired by a true, or based on a true story versus inspired by a true story. So talk a little bit about that.
For Out of Touchstone, which is another podcast I co-host, as you've alluded to, that we're going through the history of Touchstone Pictures, which for people that don't know, that Touchstone was a film division set up by Disney that started in 1984 with the release of Splash to release more adult, I hate saying adult-oriented content because that makes it sound rougher, but just non-G or PG. What's that? Like Chokers? Yes. But for non-G or PG rated films. And so we recently finished up 1991. And in 1991, Touchstone released a movie called The Doctor, which is about a doctor who develops cancer and then he becomes the patient. And and it's based on a true story. And after we watched the movie and did the review, I read the book that it's based on. And basically the only similarities between the book and the movie is there's a guy who's a doctor and he gets cancer and he becomes a patient. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And I'm like, okay, so what is the difference? You know, I looked up to see if there's a difference in the way that they can call a movie based on a true story or inspired. And to me, my feeling is if it's based, then I would say at least 85% of the story should be accurate. And obviously that 15% leeway gives you time, a chance to make a composite character out of multiple characters so that you can, you know, tell a story simpler, you know, more simple.
Sure.
And then if it's inspired, that's more like what I would consider the Law and Order type film, where it's like you read a newspaper article, you see a story, and then you make up your own story, but using that as the basis. So I was looking into Fighting With My Family. I did see some quotes from Paige who said that, you know, they nailed it. Everything was pretty much accurate. There are, she said, other than the first scene with The Rock backstage when they go for the tryout.
It seemed to me that, like, blared a giant red flag, but, you know, I don't want to get, like, totally nitpicky about it because, you know, you have to, I feel like even the greatest stories need a little enhancement to appeal to a mass audience. And, of course, The Rock, this was produced by WWE Films and Seven Bucks Productions, right?
Yes. So The Rock story that I saw was that he was shooting Fast and Furious 6 in London and was awake one night and caught the documentary. I can't remember if it's called Fighting Family. I think it's called Fighting Family. And it's a documentary that was made about the Knight family, which is Paige's family, where both her parents are wrestlers and run their own wrestling federation. And The Rock was inspired by that. He liked the story that was being told. And at the time, I believe Paige was already in WWE, you know, in the system. Mm-hmm. And so he thought it would make a great story. And he called Stephen Merchant, who ended up writing and directing it. Stephen Merchant, you know, people probably, if they know him, they know him as the co-creator of The Office. And he's done other shows with Ricky Gervais, extras. He did his own show called Hello Ladies for HBO, which if you've not seen, it's very uncomfortable because he...
That's not the Val Venus story?
No, it's more, I equate it to my own dating life where it's just very awkward. A guy who's not very suave, let's say. So... And so Stephen Merchant ended up writing, and I'll throw in quick, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were in Dallas for WrestleMania 32, We were at NXT. That was the night Shinsuke Nakamura debuted, and our friend Gary actually ran into Stephen Merchant at the NXT show. He was just there as a fan, and
I don't remember that at all.
So this movie, so The Rock produced this film, and it's all about Paige's.
You've done a little more digging. I totally forgot to pull up box office stats and all that because This was, you know, I think that there's a, and we'll probably dig more into this when we get into some of these other films down the road, but, you know, when fans hear of a WWE inspired movie, they think of, or at least I do, I go to like the cheesiness of a No Holds Barred or Suburban Commando, you know, those early Hulk Hogan movies that were just kind of awesomely bad, I guess. WWE obviously throughout the last decade or so has tried to kind of break out of that cheesiness, I think, and actually put together a library of watchable movies. This was released under the WWE Films banner, as we mentioned, also Seven Bucks Productions, which is The Rock's production company with his former wife, Danny Garcia. How did this do in the box office? Was it well received?
It was. I was kind of surprised at how well it did. Just to give you a little bit of data, it its first major, the first 2 weeks that it was out was in limited release. So it opened wide the weekend of February 22nd, 2019, and it came in fourth place. It made $10 million. The top three movies that week were, number one was How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Number two was Alita Battle Angel. And How to Train Your Dragon made $67 million. Alita Battle Angel, which was a, I believe, James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez co-production film. It made $16 million. And then the Lego Movie 2 made $11 million that first week. And yeah, so I didn't expect to see that Fighting With My Family had done so well. And I'm trying to find real quick the overall gross. And it looks like it's made about 22, almost just shy of $23 million in its theatrical run, which worldwide it's made $40 million. And Page has said that, you know, this wasn't supposed to be a huge film anyway. And I think just, you know, a movie about a wrestler who probably isn't that well known outside of the wrestling community. I would be curious. I didn't look it up, but I'm going to right now as I talk to see how much movie money the movie The Wrestler made. And it only made $26 million. So,
wow.
You know, that was a higher regarded film and kind of put Mickey Rourke back on the scene. So for Fighting With My Family to make, what we said, almost 23 million, I'd consider that a success.
Well, you brought it up and I was going to save it for later, but since you just mentioned it and Paige said that this wasn't meant to be a big kind of film. And you talked about her being kind of, I don't want to say lesser known, but lesser known outside of the wrestling community. For me, as I was watching this, and even 2 years ago when they said that this movie was coming out, you know, it was kind of like when, for me at least, when Edge was still active and had released his autobiography. I felt like, you know, not to knock Paige by any means, and it is a very interesting story that we'll dive much deeper into in just a few minutes, but to me, I would have liked to have seen a little more grass under her feet, so to speak, and a little more experience. You know, I would have rather seen a docufilm on, you know, maybe say a Trish Stratus or, you know, someone who's no longer wrestling, I guess. And I'm not articulating this the way I probably should be, but I felt like her career, but of course it was cut short, her in-ring career at least. So who knows if she were still active today and, you know, 10 years from now, this film might have garnered even more praise and attention and you know, people going to the box office to see it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back because, as we have discussed on the show many times, our memories of recent events is not as clear as it is for things that happened 30 years ago.
Right.
And so I'm trying to put into my time frame Paige's career. And I believe by the time this came out, she was forced into retirement. You know, I know she's done the Backstage show for WWE and on Fox Sports, but yeah, I don't think she's really grown outside of the wrestling bubble. Like, I don't know if you walk up to just the random fan on the street who would probably recognize, you know, John Cena or even maybe Roman Reigns at this point, but how many are going to recognize Paige? And it's not a knock on Paige. It's just the way things, you know, how their career is. And especially being, I don't know how popular the Knight family is in England. Where they're located, I don't know in regards to the rest of England and what the scene, English wrestling scene is like. But I thought Paige was an interesting subject for a film. But when you look at the family dynamic and, she comes from a colorful family and, so I think that makes the movie, work. And, you know, I was struggling with how much of her family we needed to see, I guess, since the movie is called Fighting With My Family, that the family should be there. But, you know, after she leaves England, then she's basically on her own in America, training with, you know, at FCW and NXT. And so my thought was, okay, how much focus do we need to put on the family aspect as opposed to Paige's career trying to make it in WWE?
Yeah. So do you want to jump into kind of the reviewing process here then? And or do you have any more fun facts about the film? Because you mentioned Paige's career. She did end her in-ring career in April of 2018. So what? 10 months later, this film is released. So by the time probably they started doing this film, this version of it, at least, not the documentary, obviously, she was done as an in-ring performer. And you know, we saw Edge come back after 9 years. We, you know, Paige, and she's young. I mean, and that's the thing that I found so remarkable about all of this story is how young she got started. And then, you know, so, you know, I guess I kind of recant my earlier statement, because even though we didn't see her, you know, as a fans here in the United States, we didn't see her wrestling, you know, 8 or 10 years before she made it to WWE or to NXT. So she definitely had the pedigree and the experience and whatnot. So, you know, just because we didn't, but I don't feel like they focused a lot of that on the film either. It was more of that NXT tryout and then the experiences that she did in NXT.
Yeah. And that's one of my questions that I have here that I'll ask you now, so you kind of, we can segue into it, is I felt the film there wasn't enough conflict in Paige becoming a WWE superstar. Like, it just seemed like, okay, she's wrestling with her family. She goes to the tryout. She's in NXT. Now she's, you know, there is the one scene where she is thinking about quitting. And I guess two, one when she goes back to the family and says, I'm going to quit because, you know, she's lonely being alone in Florida. And she's not really getting along with the other female wrestlers at the time. But I just, for me, I never felt it. And maybe it's because I know the Paige story and I know she's going to end up, but I never felt like there was really any consequence of her not making it. It just felt like, okay, I'm going into training and now I'm going into, even, you know, when they show her like her first NXT match and she freezes on the mic and the crowd's heckling her. And, yeah. But that just, it didn't feel authentic to me.
Do you know, like, did that really happen? Because was NXT for a long time, you know, we know now is on USA, and before that it was on the network, but there was a long period of time where, you know, you have been to FCW when it was still Florida Championship Wrestling, and that was kind of the training. And then were those matches, was all of that televised, or was it all kind of localized with TV, right?
I think both. And you can go on the WWE Network now, or if you listen to this in a month from now, maybe on Peacock, you can go and they have, you know, FCW shows from 2012, 2013, when Paige was just coming out. I think that in the movie, her kind of stalling or breaking down is just for dramatic effect of, you know, because she, again, she comes from a wrestling family. She's been wrestling since she was 13. I'm going to guess that English crowds can tend to be a bit rowdier than, say, a Florida indie wrestling crowd. Yeah. So giving what little I know of the real Paige's personality, I can't see her, you know, being that, that shy or that closed off in her first match.
Well, and also like the thing that also kind of stood out to me, which I don't know how accurate this was the Vince Vaughn, and we'll talk about the characters and all the actors and whatnot in just a second as well. But Vince Vaughn, was he just kind of because they said his name, but was he just
he's a composite figure,
or was he an actual person?
From what I've read, he's a composite of several different trainers that they had at, yeah.
I'm guessing it would have been Bill DeMott still at that time running NXT. Okay.
Yeah.
and obviously had since been released, but the scene where they have the tryout, you know, and she's the only, spoiler alert, she's the only one that gets kind of called up from that, and she's the only female there too. I thought it all just seemed, that whole process of meeting The Rock, you know, running to him, into him backstage, going in and doing the tryout, and it all just, that to me kind of seemed like the kind of the stretch of the story, if you will, whereas the reality of it, because I've been to a tryout before, not to wrestle, but I've been where wrestlers are trying out, and it's, of course, this isn't for WWE either, but it was just a totally different experience. So I'm curious how accurate that actually was.
You can maybe write to WWE and find out, because I've not done any training or any tryouts, and
did it seem realistic to you?
I mean, I've read about the tryouts that they'll do before, you know, Raw or SmackDown when they're touring, and if they're coming to, you know, if they're in a town and they have people that they want to try out. But yeah, I don't. I'm thinking back to the movie Beyond the Mat, where they had the two guys who had the tryout match before Raw, and then Jim Ross is talking to them backstage. Yeah. And I don't know. I think there probably would have been more people than just one trainer standing around watching them.
That was the other thing too, is like, I felt like there would be more, because even at the Impact one, you know, D'Lo Brown was there, and Scott D'Amore and Sanjay Dutt. There were a lot of guys there that were kind of overseeing everything as well. So that always kind of threw me off too, because I feel like he was really, the Vince Vaughn character was the only official through any of the film, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the only person you see.
Because he's teaching promos, he's teaching wrestling, and, you know, I just felt like there would have been at least a couple of other characters. But again, I don't want to nitpick and be over.
Right, yeah, the promo class was taught by Dusty Rhodes at the time. And that's, you know, it would have been nice to see someone trying to portray Dusty, because, you know, they would have had their pick of anybody in the wrestling community to do a Dusty impersonation. I will spare you from doing my horrible one.
Okay, baby, give me your impression if you will.
There you go. But yeah, it just seemed very, even the fact that there's no Triple H type character. And, you know, there's a series on the WWE Network, I think it's called Proving Ground, which is kind of the backstage scenes of NXT. And if I have the guy's name right, I think it's Canyon Seaman or something like that. It's a very unique name that I'm sure he got teased a lot as a kid, but he seems to be like the closest thing that I would say to the Hutch character, the Vince Vaughn character in the movie, from a office standpoint.
Gotcha. Do you want to give us some other backstory or some information about the cast for this film?
Yeah. So let's real quick, let's run down the main characters that I have here. And I'm probably going to butcher her name, Florence Pugh. I don't know, P-U-G-H. What's that?
I think it's Pugh. I think you're right.
Pugh. Okay. She plays Paige. She, I looked up her credits. I didn't recognize anything prior to this that I'd seen her in. She was, in 2019, she was in the movie Little Women. And then she is in the movie Black Widow, which is still supposed to come out to theaters at some point. We're hoping it does. But yeah, she plays Paige. Her father is Ricky Knight, is played by Nick Frost, who everyone should know from the Edgar Wright films, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and At World's End. He's also on a new Amazon original series that I think is called Truth Seekers. And Paige has said that her dad wanted Ray Winstone to play him, who I think is a British kind of does a lot of mob type characters or, you know, bad guys. But he was happy after seeing Nick Frost. And I think Nick Frost, you know, resembles Ricky Knight a little bit more than Ray Winstone would have. One that I was surprised when I saw the movie come out and saw that she was cast, Lena Headey plays her mom, Sweet Soraya Knight. And most fans will probably know her as Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones. Okay. And she also played Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles on television. Okay. And then, yeah, we mentioned Vince Vaughn. And then the two interesting characters that I thought, or actors, I should say, is Paige's stunt double for the film, for the wrestling scenes, was Tessa Blanchard.
I was surprised to see that. I saw that too. I was surprised by that. I did not recognize. I didn't notice, I should say.
Yeah.
Notice.
And then did you notice the climax of the film comes with Paige's main roster debut when she beats AJ Lee the night after WrestleMania 30. And of course, AJ Lee did not play herself because at the time, and probably still going, her and WWE probably don't have the best of relationships going. But she was played in the movie by Thea Trinidad, who a lot of fans probably know as Zelina Vega, who also at the current time now, probably not on good terms with WWE.
Yeah, I did recognize that, when I saw her, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But I thought she did. I thought that Zelina Vega or Thea Trinidad did a great job, like,
mimicking,
if you will. I that's not the right word, but her portrayal of AJ Lee I thought was very accurate.
Okay. Yeah, and just I'm guessing anybody that's listening to this probably knows, but for those that may not, AJ Lee is married to CM Punk, who was a WWE wrestler who walked out 4 months prior to WrestleMania 30 after the night after the Royal Rumble. And in an interesting note, that match between AJ and Paige in Fighting With My Family was filmed here in Los Angeles at the Staples Center one night after Monday Night Raw. And the crowd kept chanting for CM Punk, and because that's what WWE crowds do. And The Rock was in the ring, and he was addressing the crowd, trying to tell them, I believe, you know, what was going on, what they were watching, and get the reaction. And when the fans started chanting for CM Punk, The Rock pulled out his phone and called CM Punk, and Punk did not answer, but The Rock was just like, hey, I'm, you know, here in Los Angeles, you got 17,000 people chanting your name, blah, blah. And apparently this did not go over too well with backstage management. And even though it was after Raw was off the air and, you know, it was not for television, it was not televised, but just, you know, promoting CM Punk did not set too well. And The Rock's like, I'm The Rock. What are you going to do to me?
Exactly. Yeah. So also in the movie, her brother, Zodiac, Zack Knight, or Zack Zodiac, was it Zodiac Zack?
Zack Zodiac.
Zack Zodiac. I didn't realize, they have an older brother as well, who I guess was in prison during this time period of the film. Was that true to the story as well? Is there another Knight brother? Okay.
There's another Knight brother. And they have another sister who's not in the wrestling business.
Okay. I thought it was interesting too, because, you know, I'll age myself here. Soraya Knight, Paige's mom, is like 18 months older than me. So I didn't realize we were that close in age. I'm closer in age to sweet Soraya Knight than I am to Paige, but Paige's real name is Soraya, which I thought was interesting that they named their daughter after the wrestling character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I believe Mantar did the same thing with his second son.
All right, where are we going?
I don't know. That was the first name I could think of that would be obnoxious.
Name whoever it was. Okay. So we'll have to see what Cody and Brandy name their little
kid. Yeah. Zack Knight. And I looked up Zack because obviously the story in the film is both he and Paige go for a tryout. She gets picked. He does not. He, to my knowledge, is still wrestling in and training wrestlers back in their hometown. And he did have a second tryout. He got further than his first tryout, and he actually had a I don't have the date on this, but he had a match on SmackDown where he fought the Big Show.
Oh, wow.
And I'm guessing he was, you know, probably just jobber to the star type, type thing. But I wrote this note down because I had seen this movie when it came out and hadn't seen it until just the night before we were recording this. And I forgot how much of the subplot involves Zach not being there. But so I wrote this note a little early in the viewing, but does Zach need to be a subplot? Like, do you need to see him? Because he's obviously, depressed and, kind of envious that he didn't get picked because that had been his lifelong dream, whereas Paige came into it later in her life. And again, the title is called Fighting With My Family, so I guess you want that family dynamic. But I to me, it, especially once Paige goes to NXT, the Zach story just kind of becomes filler to me. Like, it's something there when I think we should have been focusing more on Paige becoming a WWE star. Your thoughts?
I kind of agree with you, but I also, because it is Fighting With My Family, I guess to pull an old 70s phrase, Zach got Jan Brady'd, or Paige Jan Brady'd Zach. Not that Paige was not good and didn't deserve the spot that she got, but, if you were watching this film not knowing anything about this family and not knowing where it ends with Paige making it to the WWE, you would go into watching this movie thinking that Zach is going to be the shoe-in and he's going to become the guy, because they kind of, at the early start, you feel, he's the star of the family. Cause I think they do an intergender tag match against the parents as well. And Zach and Paige both get the pin on their mom and dads respectively. And am I remembering that right? Or
I'm trying to think, cause I know they have a match against each other with the parents on the outside, but I think you may be right.
I thought there was a tag match too, but I could be wrong about that. But anyway, the point was, is if you're going into this as a non WWE fan, you're thinking that Zach's going to be the chosen one and he's not. And so I did like the parallels that they showed because, Zach has a pregnant girlfriend at the time of the tryout and, that kind of conflict of what are we going to do if I make it? And then he doesn't make it. And so now he's kind of spiraled out of control a little bit, but they didn't. I felt like if they needed to either go more into that side of it, or like you said, focus more on Paige, because I felt like what they gave us with Zach was not like I wanted some closure for him, and he's not even 30 years old yet, so there's still a ton of time for him. And now here in the United States, especially with Impact and AEW and New Japan and ROH and WWE, and there's so many opportunities. So I would love to see what happens with Zach next, if he's still even pursuing this, because I haven't watched any of his stuff, so I don't know how he is as a performer, but in the movie, I felt like he was portrayed as, and kind of, maybe it's because, it's that Von Erich syndrome where dad is the booker and owns the company. So, his kids are going to get pushed to the top too, but I felt like I could have used more of the Zach story for this to truly be a Fighting With My Family kind of concept.
I can see that. Okay. Yeah. You make a good point, and I will say, yeah. So I think maybe the structure of the story could have been redone. As I say on Out of Touchstone, most movies are like one or two rewrites away from being a really good film. And maybe that would have been something to strengthen up and play off of. And even, you could have had a montage of Paige training in NXT and Zach in WAW, their league, because every movie needs a montage.
Exactly. Did you have any other notes on the film itself or the characters that were in it? There was one character I was going to ask you about, and he's got such a minor role, but he looked very recognizable to me, but I could not find out where I recognized him from. And that was the father of Zach's girlfriend, I guess that's eventual father-in-law.
Yeah. That is Stephen Merchant. That is the guy who,
okay.
Yeah.
Where else would I have seen him? Well, what else would I have seen him in?
Did you not listen to me earlier in this episode? No, I'm trying to think of what he has been in that you would see, because I know he's in Logan, the Wolverine movie, the last one. I'm pretty sure he's been on The Office.
Okay, and that's where it was that I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's popped up. And again, he's like 6'12".
Yeah.
So he's like very recognizable when you see him. Yeah.
That maybe it was The Office then. Okay. All right. Sorry to backtrack.
That's all right. I would say real quick, in the first tryout that they have in England, mm-hmm. there's a guy standing next to Zach, who Zach insults by calling a female. Mm-hmm. And it's not this wrestler, but did you get the reference to who it was supposed to be?
I didn't.
It's Pete Dunne.
Okay. I wondered that. I wasn't for sure, but yeah. I can
see. Because he's got the same haircut. He's got, yeah.
Yeah. So was Pete Dunne, I'm guessing Pete Dunne wasn't really at that tryout. I don't know.
I'm guessing not, but.
Because he was part of NXT UK, right?
I know he's in NXT now, yeah. But I'm trying to, and as we record this, he could be the NXT champion as he's fighting on Sunday night. But, yeah, I don't know what his career was like in England, where he, when he started or where he was wrestling.
So let me ask you this, and I'm trying to find now my list. Okay, there it is. So did you found some reviews, or at least a review of this film as well, right?
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to do on Out of Touchstone is I pull up interesting reviews. Normally I try to go with Roger Ebert, as he was the voice of our generation. Shockingly, Roger Ebert himself did not review Fighting with the Family, probably because he's been deceased for several years. So I was looking up reviews. I didn't find any from any of the top named critics that you're probably familiar with, but I did find an interesting critic. This is from takeonecinema.net, and it's by a guy named Jim Ross, but it's not the Jim Ross.
Oh, so you're not going to do it by God. Page.
Why are these people just standing around waiting for people to jump on them? Jim Ross writes, "It never quite settles into a real comedic stride, but there are enough touching themes about the impact of thwarted dreams, having conviction in your own sense of self, and sparks of writer-director Stephen Merchant's wit to endure the audience to the story." So he gave it a positive review. And I was shocked to find that it does have a 93% positive rating from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and a 86% favorable on Rotten Tomatoes from fans.
Very interesting. So what do you say? Do you put this in the main event, the mid card, or is it an enhancement match?
No, I would give this a main event. I think it's a good story. It's fun. It's not going to be up for any serious dramatic awards or anything, but if you're looking for a good positive story, inspiring, then yeah, I totally, and I think all the actors do a great job. Even Vince Vaughn, who I would kind of say is probably, and I don't say this disparagingly, but I would say he's above this film. Like when you think WWE films, you don't think the talent level of Vince Vaughn or name level of Vince Vaughn, but I think he does well as the coach. And And yeah, it captures, from what I know as a fan, I think it captures Paige's character, and it is a positive. I think if you're aspiring to be a wrestler, it would inspire you to keep pushing and keep going. And like I said, even though there's no real conflict with Paige, I felt the movie, it moves along at a good pace. And trust me, I've seen a lot worse in the last 6 months. So, yeah.
Yes. I would also, if I would have reviewed this or talked about this right after watching it, I probably would have kept it in the mid card. But after watching it and kind of digesting it a little bit, I do agree with you that I would put it as a main event as well, because like you said, it the story moves along nicely. It doesn't, I feel like there's enough of the truth peppered into it that, you know, obviously there are some parts that maybe were enhanced a little bit. I expect that with any film, because, you know, real life is not as exciting as it is in the films, obviously. So, for that, you know, between The Rock, even though it was minor, and I don't know, the other thing I'm curious about is, was The Rock the one to break the news to Paige at WrestleMania that she was going to be on Raw the next night?
From what I have read and seen, yes, which surprised me. I would not have expected that, but I think he was also, that was when he was also telling her that they were going to make the movie. And so then he also, two birds, one stone.
There, he was one of the, was he, what was his role at WrestleMania 30? Was he was a host, right?
He
came out with Hulk Hogan and
Stone Cold. Yeah.
Maybe that was all that they did. Yeah. Cause this would have been after his run as the champion again. Cause that was the previous
meeting. 29. Yeah. Yeah. This was, they came out and all talked about being at the Silver Dome.
That's right. Okay. Okay. So yeah, that was all. I just wondered, you know, because let's talk about Paige the wrestler. I mean, I feel like you said, we didn't get a whole lot of her as a performer, but I do think that she is probably one of those early on. I don't know the right word I'm looking for, but one of those early on performers to really get that women's evolution, revolution, however they want to call it, going, because we were going from the Bellas and Kelly and, you know, bra and panties and pillow fights, and Paige kind of helped with that transition. And then we later got Sasha and Charlotte and Becky Lynch coming in.
And Bailey. Don't forget Bailey.
And Bailey.
You got to have the four horsewomen. And don't forget Nia and Shayna, your two favorites. I mean, they point that out in the film, you know, because Paige, when she gets to NXT, she meets all these blonde, you know, females who she's like, oh, you know.
They weren't wrestlers.
They weren't wrestlers. Yeah, she makes a comment about like, oh, it's just dancers and cheerleaders and whatever. She's like, what do you do? She's like, I'm a dancer. What about you? I'm a cheerleader. You know, and it's, and I believe one of those is loosely based on Summer Rae. Who would have been in NXT?
The women, were they all kind of composites as well? Because they, I don't remember them naming names or anything like that.
Yeah, they didn't. You know, none of them are who they were wrestlers at NXT at that time. You know, they're all composites. One of them, the main one that they focus on, his name is Jerry Lynn, which may or may not be a rib on the wrestler Jerry Lynn, who is now an agent in AEW and, you know, former ECW champion. And but I don't know what relationship he and Rock would have had as friends to be like, you know, is The Rock pulling a rib on him or not to name a female character after him. But yeah, it's, and yeah, I think Paige, like you said, was the start of serious female wrestlers coming in and not just models and, you know, people that were women that were there to just be eye candy. It was,
yeah. AJ Lee was the champion, obviously, mm-hmm. when Paige gets called up. We were at WrestleMania 30. Yeah. We had really good seats, in my opinion. Probably my favorite WrestleMania that we've gone to. Paige beats, or I'm sorry, AJ Lee beats, was it 11, 12, 13 other, back then it was still Divas, but other women in that, you know, kind of mishmash of a match. What were your thoughts on AJ Lee as a wrestler? You know, at first I wasn't sold on her, but she was a character that grew on me as a fan.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think AJ Lee, because, you know, being gone and out of the public eye for so long, is kind of out of sight, out of mind. Like I've forgotten about a lot of her, her matches and stuff. And you know, going back real quick, what we were just saying about ushering in the women's revolution, AJ Lee is also right there, you know, because she was a, you know, a very talented wrestler. And I completely forgot that she had gone through the pretty much the entire women's division at WrestleMania, which, again, looking back at the next day of Paige coming in makes sense then for putting AJ Lee over everybody. But if that wasn't the plan, killing off your whole division in one night, it's not really a good thing. But yeah, I think AJ Lee, again, had she, you know, her career is very much like Paige, is very short. And that's due, you know, probably more to, I think, personal reasons than professional or injury prone, like, because Paige had to retire due to severe neck injuries. I think AJ Lee will probably be underappreciated because I don't think WWE is going to focus on her, unless they say time heals all wounds. So unless her and CM Punk can make amends with WWE, and, you know, CM Punk was on the backstage show, which was produced by Fox, not WWE. So who knows what will happen, but, you know, it was only like a year later that they had Brie Bella, or not Brie, the other one, Nikki Bella, beat AJ Lee's reign for total days for being Divas champion. And you know, that was probably done in the same way that Randy Orton became the youngest champion to negate Brock Lesnar after Brock walked out on the company. So I think AJ Lee is probably someone that, yeah, I wish she was still wrestling, but, you know, I think she's got several other business ventures going. And real quick, she did write a book a few years ago called Confessions of a Superhero. And I highly recommend it. It's an interesting story. And I think her, you know, story as well would have made a good movie, but yeah. And I it would have been nice to see, and they probably had more matches than I can recall, but I would like to have seen AJ Lee and Paige, you know, probably have a good long feud. Cause I think it could have been up there with, say, a Sasha Banks and Bayley feud or a Charlotte and Becky Lynch type feud.
Yeah. And unfortunately these women, and I'm not knocking the Kelly Kellys and the Bellas and these other women, because they were doing what they were told to do at that time. Yeah. WWE was in a different place. And here's the thing about all forms of entertainment. Creators, you know, the Vince McMahons of the world, the people behind the scenes, they grow, they change, they develop. What they did 10 or 15 years ago, we look at with today's lens, it may be offensive. But I don't blame these people for that. We all change and we all grow and we all learn from, and, you know, so I don't harbor any kind of piss poor feelings towards anybody during that time period, because that's the way it was at that time. And we've changed and we've grown, and now women are main eventing WrestleMania and they're doing Hell in a Cell and they're doing the Royal Rumble. So it took a time to get there, but we're there. So let's be happy and respect the fact that we're there instead of continuing to you know, harbor old grudges and bring up the past. So getting that part out of the way, you know, I know that AJ Lee and Paige, I think it might've been AJ's last match. It was the next year at WrestleMania where they teamed up, and I believe they beat the Bella Twins.
That sounds correct. I completely forgot that AJ Lee and Paige had formed a tag team. So
like you said earlier, we forget the things that were, you know, most recent, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's so much now and there's so much content, and, you know, had I watched this movie earlier in the week, I probably would have forgot half the movie as well. So that's why I watched it the night before we recorded.
There you go. Well, we talked about personal connections to the film. Obviously, we just shared kind of our experiences at WrestleMania. Okay.
Well, real quick, going off of that. So in the movie, AJ Lee is, you know, running down, talking about how great she is and how she's beaten everybody. Paige comes out and the crowd is silent. You and I were there for the Raw after WrestleMania, as we've said. And do you remember when Paige came out and what the crowd reaction was?
See, I thought that there was, and I should have gone back and watched it on the network. I felt like there was a pop.
Yes, there was, because Paige was the NXT champion at the time, which they also omit from the film. Yeah. And as soon as her Titantron hit, everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, but I would say like 75% of the audience knew who she was.
Right.
And so, and I get, again, it goes back to that dramatic licensing of, yeah, oh, here she is in a bigger setting and has to win over a crowd. That, I guess, is more interesting than if she just came out and was, you know, cheered and then beat the champion and walked out. There's no, she, in that regard, maybe she didn't overcome anything.
Right. Well, and we've talked about it before, that WrestleMania, that Raw after WrestleMania crowd is not your typical Raw crowd.
Yeah.
You have people from literally all over the world and all over the country.
Yeah.
Typically for a Monday Night Raw, if it's in Cleveland, Ohio that night, your crowd is mostly from Cleveland, Ohio, or at least that surrounding area. That crowd in New Orleans, you know, you mentioned our friend from England, Gary, you know, the Aussies were there, and you know, so we personally knew people from around the world that were in that crowd as well. So yeah, I thought that part was kind of again part of that stretch or that creative license, if you will. But yeah, we were there for that, and it was pretty cool. And the other thing that I wanted to note about that was she used the page turner, which was Zach's finishing move. And you know, I don't know if that was really in real life, if that was his finishing move, and she kind of did that as a tribute, because they didn't really go much into that. I do remember when she used the move on AJ Lee in the film, they kind of got Zach's reaction to it. And I feel like he made reference to it as well. But I wonder if that was really his finisher as well when he was wrestling in England.
I would say yes. I'm going to say yes. And just because it was called the Zach Attack, which any good child of the 80s, early 90s recognizes as a tribute to the greatest rock and roll band of all time. R.I.P. Screech.
Yes. Yes. Another wrestling fan. So that's my only real kind of personal tie to this movie. And I don't know if it's really a personal tie. I mean, I was one of 30,000 people around. I was kind of hoping that they had used some of the actual crowd footage, but it looked like they completely reenacted that scene, which,
yeah, like I said, it was shot here. It was shot here at the Staples Center. And I generally don't attend Raw or SmackDowns here in LA, just because they start at 4:30 in the afternoon due to being live across the country. And that means I would have to leave work at 3:30.
You were at the screening for the film.
When this movie came out was right when Fox announced that they were going to be airing SmackDown.
Okay.
And so they were entering a partnership with WWE. I, at the time, was working for 20th Century Fox. And I remember going to get lunch one day, and there were signs up in the cafeteria saying, you know, special screening of Fighting With My Family Friday, like 4:00, I think it was. And Paige and Renee Young would be there to do a Q&A afterwards. And so I went to the screening, got there a little bit early because you never know what type of crowd you're going to get. Unfortunately, this was, I believe, on the Friday of a 3-day weekend. So a lot of people had taken off. And so there were probably only maybe, I would say maybe 50 people at the screening. So not a large screening. But yeah, they showed the movie, and then Paige and Renee kind of interviewed Paige about the movie afterwards and kind of went over a lot of the stuff that we've discussed here. And then afterwards, standing around in the theater talking with some friends, and we're like, okay, what is the protocol here? Because I've never been to a Q&A on the lot. You know, we get screenings of films as they come out, but there's never anybody there. And, you know, one of the rules of working on a lot is if you see somebody, you kind of let them be. You don't, you know, if you walk past him, you might say hi. But, you know, I've had days where I've walked out of a meeting and walking down the hallway with Robert Downey Jr. And you just kind of go like, oh my gosh, that's Robert Downey Jr. And you don't say anything to him. And it even, you know, the day that I saw John Cena on the lot when...
Wait, you saw John Cena?
Yeah, he was...
I've seen him.
He... I missed him at first, yes. I had to do a double take. It was when he was doing a Fox reality show, which the two of the producers I had worked with before, and if they had been with him, then yes, I probably would have went and talked to them and just been like, oh, hey, John Cena, I didn't see you there. But yeah, so after the screening, we're like, can we talk to Paige? Is that, you know, breaking some rule? And again, Paige and Renee Young were very polite and they came out and were talking with everybody and just mingling and taking photos. So I got a picture with both of them. And then I don't think I actually said anything to Paige. But I know Renee Young, because it was like right at the start of the NHL playoffs. And I, you know, Renee being Canadian, hockey is in her blood. And so I asked her just who her picks were for the Stanley Cup finals. And she said, well, since I live in Vegas, I have to go with the Golden Knights. I was like, good choice. And they did make it to the, I believe that was the year they made it to the finals. But yeah, it was interesting. Again, I wish I had more stories to tell. I think we've told all the major ones from that screening. But the other thing is, that's it. That's all I got. I got nothing more other than they were really nice people. So, I was kind of disappointed that because they shot backstage on the Fox lot as well in the Fox Sports building, I was hoping to run into Paige or Booker T or, you know, Renee. Yeah, never did. So, pointless story.
We'll share Chad's photo in the write up of this podcast and put it on the My123Cents Instagram later in the week. But I want to also tell folks, where did you watch the streaming version of this?
I watched it on Amazon, but I believe it's also on Hulu.
Okay. And I believe that I have Amazon and Hulu. I don't remember where I watched it, but yes, it is streaming. If you are subscribed somewhere, you can watch this one for free. I also want to encourage everyone again to join the My123Cents Facebook group. It is a brand new group that I just recently started. Go on and request. I don't know why I have to approve people to get into it, but just go ahead and jump in there, because right now we have a poll up for the next film. And Chad, I got bad news, or potential bad news for you. Right now, of the people who have voted, Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery is winning the poll.
Why is that bad news?
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to be into watching a cartoon. I didn't know.
Hey, it's Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Well, and it's one of my picks, so that's why I didn't know. Tyler Adams, who is a friend of My123Cents, he actually threw another movie in there called Doom. I don't know anything about Doom. So
yeah, I've watched Doom recently.
Okay.
It's based on the video game Doom.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, it's,
what makes it a wrestling film?
It's one of The Rock's first films.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I will stack any vote against Doom. No, Doom. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about it when I watched it, but yeah. I'm all for Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery, because I've not seen it. And
I haven't either. So that's why I picked it. And I also picked it because we're getting into WrestleMania season. I threw Leprechaun Origins in because it'll be our March podcast. And I figured since it's St. Patrick's Day, and why not throw a Leprechaun in there? Also up for vote is The Chaperone, which stars Triple H and the girl from Modern Family, right?
Yes. The middle daughter, yeah, Alex Winter.
Alex. And then Inside Out, which I thought you mistyped and was a Disney film, but I went and looked, and this is also one that I believe Triple H is in this one as well.
It is, yeah, and I have no recollection of it. And when I first saw the title on my list, I was like, wait, Inside Out? No, but yeah, it's Triple H, Michael Rapaport, and Parker Posey. So that's all I know.
So yeah, four films, or I guess technically five. You can weigh in and throw your own on there as well. But please vote and let us know your thoughts on this podcast, the concept. Did you like the format? Do we need to tweak it, change it? If you have other suggestions or ideas, weigh in and let us know. Review the podcast on your podcast listening app, screenshot it and send it my way. And we'll do a My 1-2-3 Cents prize pack as well, because you know, we're craving that input and feedback. And you can always follow Chad as well on his social media adventures. And if you are interested in learning more about the Out of Touchstone podcast, there's a Twitter page for that, as well as, you know, Chad, you're at Chad Smart on Twitter. Is that right?
That is correct.
And, you know, let us know what you think and your thoughts, Chad. Any final thoughts as we wrap up this week's premiere episode of Movie Mania?
Yeah, this is a good series. It's given me a chance to get out of the Touchstone world and out of the other films that I've been watching during quarantine. Luckily, we started off with a good one. You know, looking at the list, I'm curious how some of these movies are going to go. But yeah, this is just a fun thing. And yeah, I think, you know, give us a few episodes to kind of tweak and see what works and what doesn't. And hopefully, you know, I'm trying to think if I have any Scooby-Doo related connections or experiences that we can tie into a review of Scooby-Doo. And I'm going to guess, I have not seen the movie, I don't know what the movie is or what the plot is, but I'm pretty sure when they pull the mask off the villain, it's going to be Vince McMahon. And he's like, it was me, Fred, all along.
Well, you can't see this because Chad can see it because we're doing this through Zoom, but I just pulled my Scooby-Doo statue out. So I was and we'll get more into it if Scooby-Doo wins, but a lifelong fan of Scooby-Doo. And I actually, maybe I'll bust out my Scooby and Shaggy impression if this one wins on the next podcast. So,
well, you did a Dusty impersonation on this episode, so maybe that's a theme that we'll have going. That'll be a running joke.
Maybe that's what we'll end up doing. And we did JR as well, so impressions in. Chad, thanks so much for being a part of this and joining me and doing the artwork for this podcast as well. And friends, we encourage you again, check out My 1-2-3 Cents on the social media and let us know your thoughts, your 1-2-3 Cents, if you will. And we will talk again next week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.